The Holy See is the longest surviving monarchy in the Western world, and the U.S. is the oldest modern democracy. Our next guest says despite scandals and the first papal resignation in centuries, the Vatican plays a larger role in global politics than most would give it credit.
Francis Rooney was the American ambassador to the Holy See from 2005 to 2008 and is the author of The Global Vatican, an inside look at the Catholic Church, world politics, and the extraordinary relationship between the United States and the Holy See. Ambassador Rooney, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you, Cynthia and Jean. I appreciate the chance to be on.
Well, first, let's just establish, what is the Holy See as opposed to the Vatican? What's the distinction?
Well, the Holy See, the term comes from the Latin holy seat, and it refers to the locus of authority, power, and influence of the church in the world, personified by the Pope and the organization around the Pope, which is called the Curia. The Vatican is a 109-acre piece of land which was given to the Holy See by the government of Italy in settlement of the taking of the Papal States by the Lateran Treaty in 1929. So if it were just the Vatican, the sovereignty would not be nearly as relevant and influential in the world as is the combined power and moral authority of the Church.
Okay. So you say that the power and influence of the Vatican, though, is underestimated on a global political level. How much influence does the Vatican actually have in global politics today?
Well, hopefully the book will elucidate some instances of that. The Holy See has been involved in great many diplomatic initiatives over the years. I mean, the work of Pope John Paul, symmetrical work of Pope John Paul alongside Margaret Thatcher and Reagan in bringing down communism in Eastern Europe is pretty well known. In fact, I put a quote in the book from Gorbachev where he says, all that happened in Eastern Europe would have been impossible without the Pope. But there are many less well-known and equally important Holy See diplomatic initiatives which have been carried on oftentimes with very little public awareness during World War II, during the Cold War, when I was there working to unify the Christians in Lebanon to oppose Hezbollah, and they continue to work today. They're trying to work in Syria to protect the persecuted Christians and to call for a new concept of citizenship in Syria, which really could be said about the Middle East, to be inclusive of all minorities.
Well, and the Holy See is a permanent observer at the United Nations. Can you talk about what that means and why that's so?
Well, They have been a permanent observer for many years, and what it does, it allows them to participate in all discussions, but not to vote. And I think that's an important distinction for the Holy See, because part of their unique sovereignty comes from their soft power, their power of moral suasion, and the influence on the basis of their merits of their arguments. And there are many issues that it's probably better for the Holy See to conserve its authority and not be drawn into a lot of hegemonic back and forth among secular powers, which goes on a lot of times at the UN, and allows them to remain focused on those fundamental principles that are the cornerstone of their democracy, or diplomacy, I'm sorry.
Well, how has the relationship between the Vatican and the U.S. changed in modern times?
Well, it's kind of waxed and waned, I mean, certainly during World War II, President Roosevelt exploited the neutrality of the Holy See quite effectively to the benefit of advancement of U.S. interests. Certainly during the Cold War, many other things happened of a similar nature through the end of communism. Right now, which also shows that, and then in 1983, see, President Reagan could get an ambassador-level mission established, which shows that the anti-Catholicism, which was so rampant in the 50s and 60s, that President Kennedy had to deal with, that President Truman encountered when he tried to appoint an ambassador, Ambassador General Mark Clark, that had evaporated and that the climate was ready to take advantage of the role the Holy See could play in the world.
Well, I would love to learn more about your time as the U.S. ambassador to the Holy See. I want to ask you, what was your relationship like with Pope Benedict?
Well, it's great to know a pope,
And how many people can say that?
That's true. And it's surprising. There's been so many things written about him being a severe German, et cetera, et cetera. And the fact of the matter is he is very warm, engaging, has a wry sense of humor. He's old, feeble, which is why he resigned. But he is so brilliant and so deep with a penetrating intellect. It was a real pleasure and honor to get to meet him and to discuss policy objectives with him.
Were you surprised that he resigned? I mean, you say he was old and feeble, but you know, that's not uncommon. For centuries, the Pope served until he passed on.
Well, I was surprised when it happened because I just wasn't expecting it. But I'm not surprised because the climate and conditions existed to nurture that decision. I don't think I think that the example of Pope John Paul's last years, where he was very feeble, showed a lot of people, you know, that there's a risk of having a almost incapacitated pope in an era of great complexity around the world. And the other thing is, Pope Benedict, if you read his writings and everything, is truly one of the most humble people in the world. And it doesn't surprise me that he would give up the power and the attributes of being pope in a nanosecond if he felt it was the best thing for the work of the church in the world.
Well, and meanwhile, Pope Francis has made some waves around the globe as he makes statements about world affairs and societal values and things. And people like to infer what he means by that and whether it's an indication of the forthcoming agenda of the Catholic Church. How has the Vatican's image changed, perhaps, since Pope Francis, since his papacy has begun?
Well, I agree with you. I think there's no doubt that there's been a great enthusiasm on the part of Americans and many people around the world for his kind of message of no judgment, tolerance, etc. in church matters. In the diplomatic realm of things, I think that's also related to his focus on social work, because you know, you can't have conditions for a stable democracy without a middle class and people that have jobs and people that have education and mobility. And the needs that he's called for are tie right into fundamental diplomatic objectives that align with the United States. I'm very encouraged by his new world candor. To have a pope that's from our part of the world and not so Eurocentric, I think, is going to be a great thing.
Well, you know, there are a vast array of religious beliefs across the globe, and yet the Vatican has great influence on global politics. I'm wondering, what do you say to people, though, who believe that the United States shouldn't have diplomatic relationships with a religious body?
Well, I would say a couple of things. First of all, you know, the First Amendment doesn't really have to do with the U.S. diplomatic mission to the Holy See, because the diplomatic mission of the Holy See is there to promote American diplomatic interests, not deal with the religious aspects of the establishment of religion or the encroachment of religion in the states and all that kind of stuff. So they're really two completely distinct concepts. Second, the fact that we are the only country founded on the inalienable rights of man, directly, you know, the natural law theories of John Locke, and that we have enshrined religious freedom in our Constitution before anybody else thought of doing that, really makes us a natural partner for the Holy See. You know, we've had, since Woodrow Wilson for sure, we've had a foreign policy that was replete with reference to promoting human dignity and spreading freedom. Now, you can't always do it the same way all the time through the long history of our diplomacy, but those are principles that we're always attuned to. And as such, the Holy See is squarely in our sights as a potential partner and a sovereign entity with whom there's great symmetry with the United States values.
Well, you wrote in your book that people who operate on a millennial time scale, like the Vatican does, may not feel the pressure to move quickly and shift with the times so much as Americans would want. Do you think Pope Francis will shift the time scale, so to speak, or will he continue to use precedent and continuity when setting the church's agenda?
Well, I think that in the diplomatic realm, the fundamental principles of Holy See diplomacy will not change. The reason the Holy See is in the diplomatic business is the same now as it's been for thousands of years, to promote human dignity, to promote freedom, to promote the conditions for a better living environment for the people of the world. And as such, I think his message may change, like some of his messages have changed here recently, but the fundamental principles will be the same. And I'm hoping that because he's such a great communicator, he will be able to articulate these positions in a much more broad and deep manner, where more people understand them.
Well, in our last minute or so, I wanted to ask you, you see an important place for the Vatican in the future of international politics. What does that role look like to you?
Well, I think it goes back to the soft power concept. You know, the Holy See is not a hegemonic power. They don't have any territory to speak of. And what they do have is the moral persuasion of their voice. And we're in a world now with asymmetrical conflicts all around the world. Some are gangs, some are bands of robbers and thugs, some are religiously or culturally based, like is radical Islamic gangs or Al-Qaeda or something like that. And we need the voice of the Holy See weighing in as the consummate moral authority, not for Christians, not for Catholics, but for the world.
Well, Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you very much, Cynthia. I appreciate it.
That was Ambassador Francis Rooney, former American ambassador to the Holy See. His new book is called The Global Vatican, an inside look at the Catholic Church, world politics, and the extraordinary relationship between the United States and the Holy See. You can learn more about his book on our Facebook page.